Welcome to another podcast. Today's podcast is going to be about how to be a good debater, a good conversationalist, knowing how to discuss with people. I feel like most of the time when you talk to people, you often get this random conversation, illogical, a conversation that does not make sense, and probably filled with fallacies and cognitive biases that to a point, like sometimes you feel like you are overwhelmed or bombarded by the sheer amount of information thrown at you. And you have nothing to do but just accept whatever the other person is spewing. So it's, in a way, like knowing how to detect and how to tell if someone is just being nonsensical versus someone being logical, methodical, and making sense is very important in making like good conversations and knowing when to stop the person if they are just going on this circular conversation. So it's important. It helps you like become a good person at discussions. Like, you know what to do. You know if the other person is making sense, you know if the other person is actually has some substantial evidence to back whatever they're saying, right? So today we're going to talk about the top fallacies and cognitive biases that people make in conversations or in debates. So a fallacy in English is like an error in reasoning. Right? You jump from one premise to another. You have probably false premises. You start with the conclusion. Maybe your premises could be false and your conclusion can also be false. It's like something doesn't make sense. Like your brain registers as false. Like this doesn't really compute, right? So that's what we call a fallacy in English. And there are a lot of them in English. I will try to go over like just the famous ones people tend to make in conversations or in debates. The first one is ad hominem. So here you are attacking the person instead of the arguments. You look at a person, they are going to say something, and you can say, you're only saying this because you are a woman. You're only saying this because you are this. You attack the person, not the argument. You don't attack their premises. You say your argument is weak. You say you are this because of that. So you don't listen to their argument about climate change, and you can say she only is saying this because she failed science class. So again, here there is no link between her argument, what she's saying, and her failing science class, right? No matter how uneducated I am, I could just make a very good argument, an appealing one that you cannot refuse or refute. If you can't refute it, then most of the time you're going to resort to these insidious tactics that don't really actually serve you. They actually help politicians, but they're not really good and ethical in conversations and debates. Next one is the straw man fallacy. Here, farmers in the past used to get a lot of birds or crows, you know, attacking their crops. And what they do, they build this man out of hay, and they put it in the crops or in the farm. And when the crows see this straw man built of straw, they tend, you know, to get confused. Like, oh, there is a person there. We should not really attack, right? So so this is like not a real person, but it's like a misrepresentation or a clone of another person. So in English, straw man or straw manning in a way is misrepresenting someone's argument and make it easier to attack. For example, you could say someone only wants to reduce military spending, so he wants the country to be defenseless, right? So this is not what the person is saying, he didn't say that we should make the country defenseless. He just said we should reduce the military spending, right? There is like no correlation, like direct correlation between reducing the spending and wanting or leaving the country defenseless, right? So it's like you are gonna project something from the argument that is not there, right? If people are, most of the time people say, talk about the Gen Z protest, and they say people only went to the protest because they have nothing to do, or they're bored, or these are Gen Z people just follow the trends. That doesn't really actually make sense, because these people, there is no way that could be the direct reason why these people are just going on protests. You have to research it. You have to know the exact reality of it, right? They might have other reasons, stronger, maybe standing for their rights, speaking for themselves, but it's not necessarily just because they're following the trend. So you're mi misrepresenting their cause or arguments in a way. The next fallacy is false dilemma. So here you reduce something in only two options. You say we have to do this or that. It's like a black and white fallacy, right? There is only black and white. There is no gray. Whenever you debate or discuss with someone and says you have two options, we should do this and should do that, just run away. Or tell them there is something in the middle. There is always something in the middle. It's not really that complicated. You always have other options that you might not know. If you don't have that option, like at that moment, then wait and sleep on it, think about it, and you might find other options. Sometimes you have to take time to think about things, right? Sometimes when people give you these two options, they try to corner you, right? They want you to choose either this option or the other. Sometimes they put you on the extremes. We either have to do this or that. So yeah, there is not, it's not always like that, right? Either you support the law or you don't care about public safety. It doesn't really make sense. Sometimes you can support the law because it's flawed, but you still care about safety. So every argument, every statement a person makes is subject to scrutiny. And you have to like analyze it and see if this person is actually making sense. You know, these philosophers in the past made these arguments, and these stood the test of time. Like, these fallacies were made, like, were thought about 1,000, 2,000 years ago, and until today, everything remains the same. It's still true. These fallacies were thought of back then, and we still use them until today, and they're very good. Thanks to Aristotle and Socrates, yeah, we have now logic. The next fallacy is a slippery slope. A slippery slope is like one thing, you say that one thing will lead to this thing, and then to this thing, and the other thing. And it's not necessarily the same. For example, your parents is going to come to you and says, if you fail the test, you are going to fail the grade. And if you fail the grade, you are going to fail to graduate high school. And if you fail to graduate high school, you are not going to get a job. And if you don't get a job, you're going to die. This is a slippery slope. Like, there is no direct correlation between that, you failing the test, and you dying eventually, you know? There is no link. But this is what a lot of people do. They say something leads to this extreme outcome, where in fact it doesn't, right? Most of the time you have people that talk to you and just always put, to give you this extreme, that maybe you are at work and they say, if you don't finish the project, I might have to fire you, you know, at the end. And that's not, could be like if you fail the project, or if you don't finish the project, it's not necessarily like a direct correlation of you leaving the company, but they always put you on the extreme end of the spectrum so that they can pressure you to do things, right? Which is not good. Someone, you know, wants to motivate you to go to the gym and says, or like, if you eat this pastry, that's it. That's game over for you. If you ate this pastry or this donut, that's it. you are gonna die, or you are gonna get fat. Like, oh my God, like there is no such thing as walking and burning the calories, right? And teachers again put you into these extreme situations. Everything culminates, you know, it builds up over time, right? But it could not necessarily lead to just one outcome. There are a lot of outcomes of a thing, not just one. Go back to the example of you failing the test. I could fail the test and maybe fail the grades too, yes, but I could change my major and do something that I actually like, that I'm very good at. And then I become very, very successful and happy with the job that I have, right? So it's not always this extreme end of something that is. There are a lot of options to something, you know, it's not just one thing that is going to be the extreme end of that. Yeah, next fallacy, I think most of you know this, hasty generalization. Here, you just generalize. You draw a conclusion from insufficient evidence. The famous one is about Muslims. They say, oh, Muslims are terrorists. If one person committed a terrorist attack, and they happen to be Muslim, then you would draw the conclusion that all Muslims are terrorists. And that's not necessarily true. Not all Muslims are terrorists. Otherwise, we would have 2 billion people that are terrorists. Otherwise, we would not have, you know, nobody is going to be living on planet Earth. But that is not the case. And a lot of people do that. And this happens. Is directly linked to stereotypes, right? You see some Chinese, say Chinese do a certain thing, they're good at math. And one person that is, let's say, good at math, they happen to be Chinese, and you say, all right, all Chinese are good at math, right? That's not necessarily the case, right? So you have to understand that at some level, high level of education, we'd start to do research. How do I know that every Chinese person is good at math? Is there a particular study that quote this? Is there some factor that make people good at math, or Chinese people in particular good at math? We have to have studies to back what you're saying. If you just say things out of common sense or just sheer claims, people are not going to believe that. Some people do, but not all people, right? So you have to examine the true falsity of a claim, right? You always have to look if this person is committed a fallacy or they are being reasonable. Next fallacy is appeal to authority. This is actually an interesting one. You see this a lot in ads. They are going to give you Cristiano Ronaldo promoting a certain shampoo. Like, seriously, this is a false authority, right? You know that Cristiano Ronaldo is good at football, not at shampoo. So you have to understand that, or sometimes they give you, or an actor promoting a certain currency, right? These actors, they don't know, or a certain product, or a certain device, or a certain phone, right? These people aren't experts in the field. When you cite someone that is not a real authority, someone that is not an expert of their field, then it's going to be a fallacy. But if you cite someone that is actually good at what they're doing, for example, I'm talking about biology, molecular biology, and I cite a scientist that has a PhD or Nobel Prize in molecular biology, right? And so, yeah, that's going to be, yes, a reference. Yes, that's going to be a good authority to cite. But if you cite a physicist while talking about biology, then that's going to be a different story, right? So you have to cite there, you have to be very careful when it comes to these situations. Most of the time, people are going to cite the wrong authority. The next fallacy is bandwagon. This is actually an interesting one. Bandwagon is like appealing to popularity. Bandwagon is like a cart that has, you know, circus actors in it, right? So if you appeal to popularity, basically you claim something is true because many people believe it or many people do it. It's like it happens with trends. So trends spread too fast because of this. Most people, especially young people, they copy each other or something is being done. They're like, oh, it must be true because a lot of people are doing it. That's not the case. Not everything that is popular is true. Everyone on social media agrees it may or may not be correct. I have to check the truth and falsity of the claims, right? It's something I have to study it. I have to check it. Sometimes you get, especially now with AI, it's become very difficult to gauge if something is true or not. People can generate information, generate videos, generate clips of something that it's very difficult for someone to easily tell if this is AI or not. So, and that could go viral very quickly. And if you just appeal to something because a lot of it, because it is popular and a lot of people are doing it, that is not good. We have this problem also in claims. A lot of people tend to side with the popular opinion instead of the right one. If like 70% say that a certain person is the worst, I am more likely to move on the side of the 70% than on the side of the 30%. I don't gauge the claim, I don't study the claim and say, all right, let me see if it's actually the worst. What metrics are we using to gauge or to analyze whether this person is the worst or not? We just, follow most of the time, follow the popular opinion. And this is again a fallacy. The next fallacy is false cause. This is an interesting one because it's very difficult, especially in this day and age, to tell whether something is a correlation or a causation. Something could correlate to some other thing happening, but it doesn't mean it is a direct cause, right? Smoking could kill you, but it's not a causation, it is a correlation. There are other causes that could kill you. For example, I wore my lucky necklace and we won the game, meaning that the necklace caused the victory. So here, this is a correlation, but it's not a causation, right? It doesn't mean that the necklace caused you to win. Most of the time, people mistake this all the time, mistake correlation for causation. Something could correlate, could be present when something else happens, but it doesn't mean it is the real cause. That's why whenever we talk about research, we talk about causation, correlation, we say something has to have a higher degree, like 50, 60% of likelihood, right? If it's less than that, then it is not true. So very important to pay attention. Something could be a correlation, meaning just one of the other reasons, but it's not necessarily the causation. It could be just present. It could not be just a reason. It could be just happenstance and not necessarily a reason, right? So something could be a correlation, but not necessarily the cause of something else happening. Next fallacy is secular reasoning. I see this a lot. Oh my God. See, people most of the time, they are going to use the conclusion as evidence, as the evidence, right? So secular reasoning is when someone assume or they take the conclusion and assume it to be true within the premise, right? So instead of providing independence evidence, right, to give you other premises, other evidence apart from the conclusion, they give you just the conclusion itself. So the argument simply restates the claim in a different form. You keep saying the claim and using it as evidence. That's not. In logic, the premises should be different from the conclusion, right? Something should lead to something else happening. In short, the argument goes in a circle and never proves anything. It just go back to the same thing again and again. Logically speaking, so do you say claim X is true? Reason? Because X is true, right? It doesn't really make sense. It's like they go back from the claim to the conclusion. In logic, we need a different variable in the claim. So it should be Y. Y and Z are true. Conclusion, because X is true, right? You have to have a different again, conclusion from the claim. A very concrete example is like the government is legitimate because it has the authority to govern. So here, the claim is the same thing as the conclusion, or at least closer to it. So we're not actually bringing anything here, right? We're not adding anything. We're just arguing from the claim. Or you can say the textbook is reliable because it is the official textbook. You didn't really actually prove anything or say why the text is reliable, because probably it was cited by a lot of scientists. A lot of scientists say it is reliable. A lot of officials say it is reliable. We have data to show that the test is reliable. Students succeed when you use the text. Those are claims, right? Those are good claims. But if you say the text is reliable because it is the official textbook, doesn't mean actually prove anything. The last fallacy I want to talk about today is a red herring. We talk about this a lot in class. So a red herring is like this deliberate or accidental distraction that pulls attention away from actual issue, often by introducing something like emotionally charged or irrelevant. So the goal here is to not disprove the argument. It is to just avoid it. So an example would be, you can say, why talk about unemployment when our national pride is at stake? So here, you didn't really like say why we shouldn't actually, you didn't actually add anything relevant to the argument. You just move to something entirely different. You didn't disprove anything about unemployment. You just move to something entirely different, right? The original issue here is unemployment. And the distraction that you pushed is national pride. So there is no connection between these two explained above. Another example would be, instead of discussing like healthcare costs, let's talk about cultural values. So there is no direct link between healthcare costs and cultural values, right? So you're trying or introducing something irrelevant to the discussion here, right? That's why it's called red herring. So yeah, that's it for today, everybody. I thought I'd be able to cover cognitive biases too today, but it seems like covering the two of them will be an extensive discussion. So tomorrow we're going to talk about cognitive biases. But yeah, tell me if you notice these fallacies when you talk to people, when you discuss with them. And yeah, hopefully this is going to help you become a better person at discussion, a better debater, a better conversationalist. Yeah, thank you so much for today. See you next time. And bye.